The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Glenn Beck.
It's Pat Gray and Stu Bergier for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program. He's still, you know, canoeing back from his Mediterranean crossing. He was canoeing across the Mediterranean, something he's wanted to do forever. And then when he's done crossing the Mediterranean, he's just going to canoe back here.
Which is, it's a long trip, but he should be back by Monday.
I mean, he's a heck of a rower.
Mm-hmm.
He really is.
It's impressive.
So hopefully by Monday, he'll be back. So we've got this mass of humanity heading for the U.S. border. Originated, I guess, in Honduras and then picked up a bunch of people in Guatemala. And there's some more people waiting for him in Mexico. And who knows how big this caravan is going to be by the time it gets here. But the president is asking, in some stern words, for the governments along the way to maybe do something about this and maybe stop the caravan. And of course, that's hateful.
It's a questionable tactic, I would say.
To send the military to?
No, not our response, but the actual caravan itself.
It is.
I don't understand what the point of these things are. It seems like every year or so we have another one of these stories.
Yeah.
And it's certainly not something that's going to influence the type of progress you would theoretically want if you are a migrant from Central America wanting to come to the United States.
Yeah, you're talking from their mindset, right? From their point of view. It does seem strange that they're doing it this way.
It does not seem like it works, right? I mean, it just all it does is, you know...
It makes people angry who don't want people just thinking they can break into the country illegally.
Yeah.
And especially when you're doing it thousands at a time. That makes it even worse, it would seem to me.
Yeah, I mean, because this is why you hear about the dreamers all the time, Pat. The dreamers, the people who dream, people who've just created a dream and they've dreamed it here in the United States. And all they want to do is continue their dreaming here in dreamland. That's all they want is a dream.
Dreamy dreamers.
Dreamy dreamers. And you hear about dreamy dreamers because they have stories that are largely compelling in a one-on-one basis, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't pick the, they came here at 17 and 11 months. And have been breaking the law for 15 years. They pick the kid, and there are some examples of this where there's a kid who's 4 years old. It comes across with their parent, as the phrase is, no fault of their own, which is true when you're 4 years old. And there's a compelling case there, and I think a lot of people are open to that case, even if you.
I think if you're four, you're mature enough to say, hey, mom, dad, I'm not doing this. This is wrong.
You know what?
You're not dragging me illegally across that border. I'm not doing it.
Have you guys looked at U.S. law?
Come on.
Because we're breaking it. Okay.
right now.
Right now. We're going. Usually that doesn't happen when you're four. So, I mean, there's a compelling case there. When you talk about 4,000 people coming across the border, that's just a mass. You can't look at those people individually, or it's hard to, I think, for the average American, because this is not a situation where there's a person who came across the border in a situation where they necessarily weren't making a decision to violate the law. These are 4,000 people intentionally telling you days in advance, weeks in advance, that what our goal is to come break the law. And that is, there's not a lot of sympathy, I think, from even Americans who are open to border reform and immigration reform.
Yeah.
It's just a weird tactic. And to do it 3 weeks before an election, it's almost like Donald Trump was like, hey, guys, would you mind creating a caravan and sending it this way? And what I will do is I will talk about it and it will help us win this election. And then afterwards, you guys can go back home. We'll pay for your bus.
I was reading about the makeup of the caravan, too, earlier. Some of them are children with their parents. Many of them are children unaccompanied by their parents. So I try to figure out, all right, how did that occur at home? Did the parents just say, hey, you know what? It's time for you to walk to the United States. And I want you to walk in that group of people. And here's a guy I'm paying $7,000 to walk, somewhere in the group with you, and he'll get you across the border. Is that what you're doing? Or are you just, you're entrusting your children to who knows what? I mean, where is the personal responsibility of the parents here?
Yeah, I mean,
there's got to be some.
There is, and I think their case would be, or at least the case the left would make on their behalf would be, you know, things are so bad in Honduras or Guatemala.
I mean, they could get a lot worse. You can be killed on the way here. You could be molested on the way here. Somebody may not be there on the other side of the border. I mean, there's so many things that could go wrong. You talk about helicopter parents. I mean, that's pretty much the opposite. Like, hey, good luck.
It's the same thing. We talked about this yesterday. Letting my kid walk, who's seven, walk the dog up the street, not the whole street, but part of the street, without me, you know, hawking over him the entire time, makes me as a parent freak out.
I've told this story a few times. We live in a neighborhood at the end of our block. There's a giant pond there in a green area. It's common to everybody in the neighborhood. And when my daughter was 16, she said, "Hey, Dad, I'm going to walk down to the pond." I'm like, alone? Without your brother? No. I mean, when I stop and think about how, you know, pretty protective.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't let him walk down to the end of the block, let alone, hey, why don't you walk to Honduras with a group of people that I don't know? Good luck.
Now, look, there are situations you could argue, right? Like, if you were in, you're in North Korea, right, and you had a chance to get your kid out, you probably pulled the trigger on that, whether you ever see them again or not, right? There is a certain level of this, and that's not to say that none of the people in these situations are like this. There probably are some, but it's the same thing with the Dreamers, right? They try to give you the picture of everyone is a four-year-old who came across the border.
Right.
And in reality, like, most of them are teenagers. Mm-hmm. Most of them were 16 and 17 years old. This is it's a different story. And you just wonder, first of all, why you would do this, because it's a gift to Donald Trump. If you want to talk about hardening the borders, this is an easy way to get people together to do that.
Mm-hmm.
When people hear a story like this, it does not soften their hearts. It makes people say, whoa, because the word invasion gets used with illegal immigration sometimes from people who oppose it, in a hawkish manner. Mm. Right. And, you know, like,
and 4,000 people can kind of qualify.
Right. Like 4,000 people coming across the border, whether you like it or not, feels like an invasion. Right. It feels
like
they're just the only way they could do anything here is overrunning what we have. Right. Like overrunning the security. They're either coming in the right way or they're overrunning security. And you see that Mexico does not want to deal with this, but they know that they're not the end. They're not the end location. So they can let them into Mexico and say, well, you guys apply for asylum. And in 6 months, you come back for that hearing. And, of course, they're just going to keep walking north.
And it's interesting how other countries deal with this. And yet, the vitriol directed at us for trying to deal with it in just even a fairly reasonable way. Every time we do, we're hateful, we're uncaring, we're racist. Whereas Mexico certainly protects their border. Do you remember what Felipe Calderon said when he came to the United States and he was trying to influence our immigration policy?
Of course. If somebody sneaks in from Nicaragua or some other country in Central America through the southern border of Mexico, they wind up in Mexico. They can go get a job. They can work.
If somebody do that without permissions, we send back them.
They send back them. If they do it without permissions, they send back them.
Mm.
But we can't. We're expected to just accept everybody. We don't know who they are. We don't know what they're doing. We don't know what they bring to us. Mexico has a pretty stiff immigration law. They've got a streamlined law that ensures foreign visitors and immigrants are in the country legally, have the means to sustain themselves economically. They're not destined to be burdens on society. They are of economic and social benefit to society. You expect your immigrants to contribute? They're of good character, no criminal background, and they're contributors to the general welfare and well-being of the nation. They make sure that they don't have any sort of criminal record. They make sure they do have visas. They make sure that they ban foreign visitors from interfering in the country's internal politics.
Can
you think of it? I mean, how many illegal immigrant protests have there been where they're waving the Mexican flags in our faces, where they're demanding rights that they think they have coming to them? In Mexico, you can't even, you can't interfere in their internal politics. Plus, if they think that you're going to throw off the balance of their demographics, they deport you.
I mean, that's blatantly racist, right?
Yes.
I mean, like, that is not,
yes.
there's not an argument there. We would never.
Never. You can't do that.
You know, you can't do that, and nor should you. You shouldn't be like, well, I would like this percentage of African Americans and this percentage
we
of
We want to make sure
and
we're still 70 or 80%.
Yeah, I mean, that's sick. Would you, I wouldn't, I can't think of one Trump supporter who would support a policy where we had to keep the exact same percentages of white people versus other races. What you want are people who are productive, who are here because they want to be here and be part of the society, who are going to add something to our community instead of taking things from it. I mean,
right.
You know, that's what you want.
The hypocrisy is mind-boggling.
That really is incredible.
It's mind-boggling.
It really is. It's border security for me, but not for thee. And that is not a, that's incredible. I mean, that's an incredible line there that they draw.
It is.
You know, it's not the right thing. And it's political. When look, the bottom line is we have a lot of illegal immigrants here. There will be more that are coming. We need to mm-hmm. tighten that up. That is a completely, it's a larger argument mm-hmm. that needs to be addressed. And we've, you know, been talking about it for years and years. But politically speaking, you got 3 weeks to a midterm election. There's no, like, this is a complete gift to the Republicans, to people who care about the border,
yeah.
to people who have any, to Donald Trump and the people he's supporting. It's a gift.
It is, and he's telling Republicans that.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, use this.
Use it.
In your election campaign, start talking about immigration, because I haven't heard any of them doing that. Are any of the Republican candidates using immigration? Not that I've heard. I mean, maybe someone somewhere is, but it doesn't seem to be a general theme for the party.
Yeah, I did hear Cruz talking about it in the debate. I don't know that he mentioned the caravan per se, but I mean, he was talking a lot about border security. I mean, there's a really close race in Arizona, a race where McSally has a great chance of winning, where people, you know, because her opponent there is like, if you took Michael Moore and put his brain into a female body of a congresswoman, you would have all of these tapes that they've been finding about her, where she's saying, you know, she's bashing Arizona.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
saying it's the
yeah.
meth lab of democracy. She's saying people mm-hmm. are crazy in Arizona. She's talking about how, I mean, she's on 9/11 truther shows. It's incredible that they've decided to run her and thought that this stuff would not come out. And McSally is, you know, you're talking about one of the first female pilots in history of the Air Force, incredibly accomplished,
yeah.
has a great chance of winning in a tough environment in Arizona. Adding on this situation where, you know, you basically have a code pink staffer is running for Senate in Arizona. And It was a huge mistake, I think, for her to be there.
Was she literally with Code Pink, or you're just saying she's that
summarizing
ilk.
Her views? I don't know exactly. She was. Yeah. She's been with a lot of these left wing extreme groups.
That's amazing.
In the early 2000s, to the point where again, like she like co-hosted a show with someone who was a 9/11 truther.
Wow.
For a while, that's like
it's crazy.
Bonkers over the line, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that you have a really solid candidate there in Arizona, and it's a border state. It's a big deal there. Texas is another one. Cruz has got a lead there, but I mean, he's always been talking about border security. But again, look at the other side of that.
Yeah.
With Beto.
He doesn't want a wall. He doesn't. I don't know that he even wants a border, frankly.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it. And he's made a big deal out of it. Some of his ads are like, let's protect the dreamers. Let's protect the dreamers. And you know what that means? It means amnesty for everybody. It doesn't stop with the dreamers. And I think everybody who has watched this battle for the last 15 or 20 years knows it doesn't stop with the dreamers. They want amnesty for all illegals here. All illegals. Because you can't just say, all right, the dreamers can stay. Well, what about their parents? Okay, yes, they can stay. What about their cousins? Okay, it's the whole chain thing that Trump talks about from time to time. That's what will happen if you grant the man amnesty.
888-727 Beck is the phone number, brought to you by Casper this half hour. Glenn has a Casper, and he loves it. He always talks about how the first few nights he was like, I don't know. And that's the problem with buying a bed. If you go to a store that sells mattresses, you can lay down on a mattress and it can feel comfortable for that first 5 minutes you're laying on it. But that, what does that tell you? It tells you nothing. You're talking about now 100 days that Casper will give you.
100 nights is a really good test.
Or if you sleep during the day, 100 days.
Yes.
100 nights is a really good test. You're going to know for sure whether you like this or not. And they make it very easy. If you decide no, you're okay. They will make sure that they'll take it back. They will deal with it. Put Casper to the test in your own home for 100 nights risk-free. This is an incredibly comfortable bed. And, you know, in the summer, it's going to sleep cool for you. You're not going to get overheated. It's so comfortable and something you're really going to love. No wonder they have 35,000 five-star reviews of their products on Casper, on Google and Amazon and all those rating services. Go to Casper.com/Glenn. Casper.com/Glenn. Use the code Glenn for $50 towards the purchase of select mattresses. That's Casper.com/Glenn. Code is Glenn. You're going to get $50 towards the purchase of select mattresses. Casper.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Just talking about the Ted Cruz, Beto O'Rourke, and for some reason everybody, I guess including him, really emphasize it's Beto, O'Rourke.
Yeah, it's not Beto.
No, it's not Beto.
Beto.
It's Beto.
Beto O'Rourke.
So anyway, that race continues to be pretty interesting. Right now, it looks like Cruz has this pretty well in hand.
Right now,
he's up by 7, I think, on the average.
Yeah, he is up about by 7. He, of course, is a deep Hispanic roots. That's why, if you don't know what Beto,
Beto
is, it's a deep Hispanic nickname for this deeply Hispanic man whose name, Robert Francis O'Rourke, might not signify to you that how Hispanic he is, which is why he's called Beto.
Right.
Beto.
Right.
But yeah, he was... I mean, I assume he probably was a dreamer, right? He probably came here. You know,
he assume that.
He was in Ireland and dreamed of coming to the United States and then came here and became Hispanic.
And I think he believed he was until the Hispanic caucus said, no.
No,
you're
that's
not Hispanic.
How this works.
So even the nickname didn't get him in. I don't know. That's weird, right?
Again, racism.
Exactly.
Here is Beto addressing his nickname.
Listen. Congressman, throughout the campaign, you have been attacked for being what Don Jr. has called an Irish guy pretending to be Hispanic. So what does the Hispanic community mean to you, and what relationships do you have with that community?
So to clarify the question about my name, I was born Robert Francis O'Rourke, son of Pat Francis O'Rourke, who was the son of John Francis O'Rourke, father to Ulysses Francis O'Rourke, who will go as UFO for much of his life. And from day one in El Paso, and you know this in McAllen, if you are born Robert or Albert or Gilbert or Umberto, your folks, your friends, your community calls you Beto. That's my nickname that I've gone by for my entire life. Born and raised in the fourth generation in El Paso, in a community that is more than 80% Mexican American.
First of all, I'm not Hispanic. I no one calls me any name other than Stu at this point, which isn't even my name either. You can criticize me the same way you can talk about Beto, because that's actually not my name. My name's Steve. And inexplicably, I am called Stu. Thanks a lot to Glenn Beck for that one. Mm-hmm. But what I would say there is, first of all, it's just an inefficient process. I don't mean to criticize the culture of the Hispanic people, but if you have if it's true what Beto is saying, which is anyone who's named any of four names are all called Beto, is that true?
No.
Everyone who's called Albert is called Beto?
No.
Everybody really?
Born in El Paso that's of Irish American descent
that's named Albert
named
Robert?
Robert Francis, they're called,
they're called Beto,
Beto.
Is that
all
true?
Of them? No,
I would
it's
love
not
to know
no.
if we could go and find an actual Robert in El Paso. Do any exist?
Maybe is we could there, hear from somebody in El Paso.
If you are in El Paso or anywhere around there and your name is Robert, I'd love to know if you exist. Because what we were just told is, as everyone knows, if you happen to grow up in El Paso and your name is Robert, Bill, Ted, Stanley, Orlando, or Reginald, you're referred to as Beto. I that can't be true.
No, it can't.
It can't
I don't
be
think
true.
It can. And I don't think it is.
I'm not saying it's not a common nickname in some communities. It probably is, but it wasn't his community.
And is it not cultural appropriation? Did he not appropriate Hispanic culture?
Yeah.
How is that not a problem?
If that is a thing, this is an example of it.
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's a thing, because I think it's a ridiculous thing, but I'm sure Beto would tell us it's a thing.
Yes. Yes, he would. All right. And in the meantime, we'd love to hear from Roberts in El Paso, or near El Paso, or have seen El Paso. Are you Beto?
Glenn Beck. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
And Congressman, throughout the campaign, you have been attacked for being what Don Jr. has called an Irish guy pretending to be Hispanic. So what does the Hispanic community mean to you, and what relationships do you have with that community?
So to clarify the question about my name, I was born Robert Francis O'Rourke, son of Pat Francis O'Rourke, who was the son of John Francis O'Rourke, father to Ulysses Francis O'Rourke, who will go as UFO for much of his life. And from day one in El Paso, and you know this in McAllen, if you are born Robert or Albert or Gilbert or Umberto, your folks, your friends, your community calls you Beto. That's my nickname that I've gone by for my entire life. Born and raised in fourth generation in El Paso, in a community that is more than 80% Mexican American.
Okay, so if you're born Robert, Albert, Gilbert, Umberto, Paul, Frank, mm-hmm. Blaine, mm-hmm. Biff, Dave, Don, mm-hmm. Jack,
yep.
Or Frank,
mm-hmm.
You're called Beto.
And Frank twice, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I just want to make sure.
Yes.
Okay. Because that's true, as we just learned. And that's an amazing accusation. Now, remember, I didn't realize, too, he said it's not just El Paso. It's also it's McAllen.
McAllen.
So I guess this is all over Texas,
yeah.
is apparently what's true here.
Yeah.
And one of the things I would love to do today, to test this, is it true that there is no example of someone named Robert, Albert, Gilbert, or Umberto who was not named what they're, you know, like, so if you were Gilbert and people call you Gilbert, apparently to Beto, you do not exist. You are not a person. You're not, we have no evidence that you exist. So if you happen to be a Robert, an Albert, a Gilbert, or an Umberto.
Well, if you're Umberto, obviously, you're probably going to have a Hispanic nickname, right? That's kind of a Hispanic name.
I would probably think
Umberto.
Yeah, I would. I don't know what you would shorten Umberto to, except maybe Beto, I guess.
I don't know any people who are not Hispanic.
Yeah.
Who are named Umberto.
And this is an opportunity for us, Pat and Stu, two whiteies. Mm-hmm. We're talking whitey to the max. The two of the whitest people you'll ever know, with almost no cultural awareness whatsoever, to be learned here. We can be taught about Hispanic culture. I mean, Beto has been white-splaining us some Hispanic culture here over the past few months. But I would like to know from people who actually grew up in these areas, is it true that everyone, I'm sure there are some examples, I can think of one off the top of my head, who's named Robert Francis O'Rourke and calls himself Beto. But is this a common thing to the point of, I believe his standard was everyone who gets named one of those names in Texas or in these communities would be referred to as Beto. Is it possible? Is there a unicorn out there that is named Robert and is only called Bob? Is there someone out there who is named Albert and is called Al? Is that a unicorn? Mm-hmm. Is that a mythical being, or does that exist? 888-727-BECK, 888-727-2325. If you happen to be someone named Robert,
and you're born in El Paso, or grew up in El Paso,
yeah,
or McAllen.
Yeah, I mean,
somewhere along the border of
Texas, in southern Texas somewhere.
Or I suppose it would also apply in Arizona, right? Or,
yeah,
or California.
Yeah, any. I mean, he limited it to, I would say, Texas border area. But I'd be interested to see if this is a widespread phenomenon.
Yeah.
Is it possible? Can a mother name their kid Gilbert and not have them referred to as Beto their entire life? Is that a possibility? I don't know. I am just not in tune to the cultural developments as much as I should be. And, you know, please come and white-splain this to us, because we are just, that's not our role here, Pat. We're just too white. We can't understand things like this. To look,
exactly.
I'll just admit it. To me, Beto, referring to himself as Beto, feels like a guy who wants to take advantage of the Hispanic community for votes. I know that can't be true, but it's just because I'm too white to understand it. I can't quite get there. I can't clear that hurdle to understand why someone would do that. And we will soon find out to see if we can find any Roberts who are actually Roberts.
It looks like we have a Joe Robert, who no doubt is Beto, calling from El Paso. Joe Robert?
Yes, here.
Is it more preferred for us to refer to you as Beto?
No. Not even Jose. Don't even call me Jose either.
Okay. What is your actual given name?
My birth name is Joe, J-O-E, first name, Robert, R-O-B-E-R-T. And okay. I don't let anybody call me anything else.
So when someone calls you up, how do they refer to you?
They don't say my middle name mostly because I don't give it out unless it's, for formal stuff. But just Joe.
Okay.
My last name.
Not Beto.
Not Beto. What? I'm not Bob either. I'm not Joe Bob either.
Let me ask you this. And this is, why did you call National Radio and lie? Because we know everyone in these areas that has Robert is Beto. Why would you lie?
No, all those names you mentioned, it does depend on if they want to be called Beto. It is a nickname. It's, I don't know what it is, but I've known all those people and I've always called them either Albert, Umberto, and the other one, Gilbert. I didn't even know Gilbert was Beto, but that's new to me.
But do a lot of white guys call themselves Beto, or do other people call them Beto?
Actually, he's the first one that I know of.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So, Joe, what is your background? What's your ethnic background?
I am Hispanic, Latin descent. A lot of people, I get a lot of grief because they say I'm Mexican-American, but I refute that. I'm not refuting it because I'm ashamed of it. I do have Mexican background, but my surname, which of course I'm not going to give out, is from Spain. My surname, my last name.
Mm-hmm. This is fascinating. You are in the Hispanic community. You have Robert in your name. You are not called Beto, and the people that you refer to in the Hispanic community with the names Robert, Albert, Gilbert, and Umberto, you refer to by their actual names.
Yes, I do.
This is an interesting piece of evidence.
We found the unicorn.
You're the only one.
Stu,
we
that's
know there's
amazing.
One. We should send this to Beto so he doesn't make this mistake next time on CNN. I don't want him to go down a road where he's making mistakes and saying things that blatantly aren't true on national television. Mm-hmm. That would be terrible for him.
We're just trying to help.
We're trying to help here, and so is Joe. Thank you, Joe, for calling in, and I would love to hear from more people. If you happen to be Robert, Albert, Gilbert, or Umberto, or happen to live in a Hispanic community where you know someone of these names, is that always how you refer to it? Because that is the standard set by Beto. And I'm curious to see if there are more unicorns out there. We've discovered something today, but look at the work we've done. This is hour one.
It's incredible.
We've already uncovered something that people have told us did not exist. It's a miracle. And all this hard research we've put into this today by giving out the phone number, once or twice. And shockingly, we were able to uncover somebody. So we'll see if there's more out there. I don't know if there is. I mean, assume he's the only one.
We've done a lot of digging so far. So maybe it'll produce more fruit. I don't know. Richard in Texas, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Hey, guys. My name is Richard. I'm out here in El Paso.
Okay.
The first thing I like to say is that there's really not that many Latinos named Francis. So that's my first point.
Okay.
To your second point that you were mentioning, I would say that 95% of the people that are named in the names that you mentioned do go by Beto.
Mm-hmm. That's a high percentage. I mean,
that's a lot. Yeah.
And I am a Latino, and I am an American citizen.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
That's what happens here in our community.
Okay, so you do
in El Paso.
You do know a lot of guys, like a lot of white guys that go by Beto?
No.
Okay, so the guys you're talking about
here,
the 95%
of the white guys here are called gringos.
Right.
Yes. Okay.
So, because this is an interesting distinction, you're saying in the Hispanic community, people of Hispanic descent with some of these names are called Beto, but the people who are white named Robert Francis do not go by Beto.
No,
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Okay, well, I don't think this one helps Beto that much.
Not at all.
I don't think it does, but thanks, Richard, for the call. Again, look, there's a couple unicorns out there. You can always, when you're searching for horses, you're going to find a couple with horns on their head. That's just one of the things. Some of them are going to be able to fly. It's just part of the experience when you're looking to find a horse. Hey, look at that one. It happens to be rainbow colored and is flying through the sky. Everyone has those
moments.
And
you say, huh. How about that?
I'm just curious. I'm just concerned.
Yeah.
Because, you know, look, CNN is the place where they're gonna dig deep and get the facts on
this. This guy.
Yeah, he's going to get a massive fact check at some point today. Because apparently, we're hearing from El Paso that people that are white named Robert Francis are not typically called Beto. This is, I mean...
And we don't doubt at all that if you have Hispanic background and your name is Robert or Umberto, that you're called Beto. I'm not surprised by that at all. What would surprise me is if a lot of Roberts, who are just white guys, that usually go by Bob in this culture, are going by Beto.
Now, one interesting thing we could do with Robert Francis O'Rourke is you could call him Bob Frank O'Rourke, too, right? We could go with Bob Frank O'Rourke.
You could. Yes, you could.
Bob Frank O'Rourke is not, it doesn't connect as deeply to the Hispanic community. I wouldn't say Bob Frank. But I'm sure that had nothing to do with his consideration by putting Beto on all of his signs. Now, we all, of course, know that he was calling himself Bob on television when he was in a band.
Yeah, and that band performed on television in El Paso on their morning show, and he brought his incredible guitar stylings to the show, and it was getting late in the show, and the host of the show was concerned that they got to start playing because the show was about over. But listen to what he calls him here.
Bob, I'm afraid the show's going to be over.
Bob, I'm afraid the show's going to be over before you... So he's talking to Beto, I believe, at that time.
Mm.
And then you hear the guitar stylings of Beto himself, and he's incredibly talented.
Wow.
And listen to this guy. It's good.
This isn't really him, is it?
Yeah, this is actually Beto playing guitar.
But this is the band he's about?
Yeah. And then they kick it into gear, man. And it's... Listen to that. It's the guitar stylings of Beto Francis O'Rourke.
Bob Frank? Of Bob Frank O'Rourke. Wow, that is...
Talented.
But he's called Bob.
Hey, Bob, I'm worried you're not going to get a song. Listen carefully.
I'm afraid the show's
going to
be over for
the weekend. God, it's embarrassing. This is just a one giant embarrassment of a campaign, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it is.
I mean, the fact that this guy's caught on with the left,
they love him. They want to run him for president in 2020.
He's raised more money than any Senate candidate in history for a quarter. That's how much they love this guy.
He raised more in this quarter than Barack Obama did back in 2008.
That's incredible.
Is that amazing?
And because why? He made a speech about the NFL where he said it was okay to kneel because
I guess
that's it.
Couldn't think of anything more American than that.
I can think of several things more American than that.
Yeah, a lot.
I don't think I understand it, but maybe we'll get more evidence from El Paso, and this will show us that there's only two. There's only two people who would possibly disagree with the story from Beto O'Rourke in these communities. I'm glad we've heard from a couple. Because that proves that unicorns do exist. But we'll figure it out and we'll lock it down here coming up. 888-727 Beck is the phone number. Glenn, of course, is traversing the Mediterranean Sea, then coming back across the Atlantic Ocean in a canoe. And when he gets back, he will join a traveling circus this weekend. If you want to check out the dates, you can find those out. I don't know if they're going to be up at glennbeck.com/tour. If you go there, you can find the dates to our tour where we're going out around the country. But I don't know if this weekend's traveling circus that Glenn will be hosting is going to be listed there, but you can look for it in your community as well. He'll be back on Monday. We'll talk about Bitcoin a little bit here. Bitcoin was down 40%. Gosh, it was only over just a year ago. It was down to $1,850 a coin. And, you know, you forget with the huge run it had in the late year that anyone who invested back before the giant spike of Bitcoin is still up a lot, 3 and 4 times their money. From just a little over a year ago, it's hard to imagine that this whole run could have been profitable that late. Now, Tika Tiwari from Palm Beach Letter wrote an announcement talking about how it would bring enormous amounts of money into Bitcoin. At the time, it was $1,850 a coin. He said Bitcoin would hit $10,000. Well, as you know, it went up to $20,000. It's still almost $7,000 now. which is almost up to his the level he was saying it was going to get to at its peak. Tika announced, like last year, another big event is happening. He thinks Bitcoin can go up by 10 times or more. If it does, it would be nice knowing you. You'll never hear my voice again. I really hope he's right on this one. But the point is, if you want to know about these things, you have to make sure you're educated. Cryptocurrency has obviously been a huge development, not only in the financial world, but in the technology world. You know, huge corporations are dumping money into this, into developing these ideas on blockchain. You need to know the details about it. You know, we've been saying this for a long time. If you get $100, if you can skip, a night out, dinner, movies, and drinks, you can get $100, throw it into Bitcoin, it could turn into thousands. It's already happened in very recent history. But you need to know the details. You shouldn't invest if you don't know what the heck you're talking about. Don't be me. SmartCryptoCourse.com is the place to go. Go to SmartCryptoCourse.com or call 877-PBL-BECK. That's 877-PBL-BECK or SmartCryptoCourse.com.
Glenn Beck.
All right, we are looking for people in El Paso or McAllen or, border cities that it's so common that if your name is Robert, Albert, Gilbert, or Umberto, you go by Beto. And so we've got some people lined up. We'll get to them in here in a second because we were told by Beto O'Rourke, that's what happens in these border towns.
You can't avoid it.
You just can't avoid it. It's not just him trying to hispander to Hispanics in Texas. That's not what it's about. He just happened to have a lifelong nickname because everybody does.
Everybody does. Every white person does. Now, that doesn't always happen when you go on television. You know, people are going to call you Bob and... That's just going to be part of your situation. Right. That's their fault. But that's because he was probably a white guy that doesn't understand the Hispanic culture of Robert Francis O'Rourke.
Yeah.
Of Bob Frank.
And he made a mistake when he said this to Beto.
Bob, I'm afraid your show's going to be over before you get...
And then the fabulous guitar playing. I mean, the guy was incredibly talented. I don't know how he didn't take off as a rock star. How did that happen?
I just don't understand it. But again, I don't understand Hispanic culture, apparently.
Apparently.
I need to be learned.
So 888-727-BECK. We'll get to your Beto calls coming up.
Glenn Beck. Mercury.
The country has been pushed to the limit. Our political bonds have been torn apart. We need a true leader who can save us from certain doom. Unfortunately, we could only find this guy.
Hey, it's Glenn Beck.
Glenn Beck is coming live to talk about the right path forward and to make fun of the people standing in the way. He might not be able to save the country, but at least we can all go down laughing. Glenn Beck Live, the Addicted to Outrage Tour, on tour this fall. For tickets, VIP packages, and more, visit glennbeck.com.
Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray and Stu Bergier for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. Hopefully, Glenn will be back from his canoe trip across the Mediterranean on Monday.
And traveling circus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And triathlon. The triathlon is over. I believe he finished fourth, which was much worse than I think he expected.
Yeah.
So we'll have to get in the
that
details.
That was out of 3,000 people, though. So, I mean, yeah. It wasn't that bad.
Oh, no. It was good for I think, the average
Just
person.
Just disappointing for him.
Yeah,
especially because he's in such shape.
It was won over rough terrain, which is his specialty. A lot of uphill, a lot of mountain climbing in the middle of it, which is not usually in the middle of a triathlon.
No, but he wanted to go through the toughest conditions he could find.
Yeah.
And so I think that's admirable.
It is.
Good,
it is.
Good for
him. He trained so hard for it.
Yeah, you can tell. Look at him. Right?
I tell you. And that just has nothing to do with how he pulled off that training. While at the same time learning to train elephants for the circus was an incredible achievement.
Amazing.
I mean, Ringley Brothers has gone away now. He's stepped in, and he'll be doing that all this weekend. You can find him all around the country with a bunch of elephants, and you won't mistake him for one of
them's Jeffy. So that'll be cool. We'll be watching for that.
Yeah, we're learning a little bit today. I like this, Pat. Sometimes talk shows, you can kind of be too sure of yourself, too much certainty.
Mm-hmm.
And today we're really learning here from the Hispanic community of...
wrong with that.
Robert Francis O'Rourke. I was not aware that every white person in El Paso that was named Robert Francis would be referred to as Beto. That was not something that I knew until very recently. So last night on CNN even. Because he's been talking about the Beto thing, but I didn't know. I thought maybe it was just him.
Right.
Maybe there's some quirky thing about him. No.
But no.
Everybody. He said everybody.
That, right? Let's remind people of what he told us, because we all want to learn together Everybody has his nickname. Here's what he said.
Congressman, throughout the campaign, you have been attacked for being what Don Jr. has called an Irish guy pretending to be Hispanic. So what does the Hispanic community mean to you, and what relationships do you have with that community?
So to clarify the question about my name, I was born Robert Francis O'Rourke, son of Pat Francis O'Rourke, who was the son of John Francis O'Rourke, father to Ulysses Francis O'Rourke, who will go as UFO for much of his life. And from day one in El Paso, and you know this in McAllen, if you are born Robert or Albert or Gilbert or Umberto, your folks, your friends, your community calls you Beto. That's my nickname that I've gone by for my entire life. Born and raised.
And
in
I mean, that's just
generation.
What happens. Yeah. That's just what happens when you're Robert, Albert, Gilbert, or Umberto. Just go by Beto. That's all there is to it. White or not, that's what you go by.
Right. And when we say you're in his entire life, what we actually mean is his entire life, with the exceptions of times he was in public and happened to be recorded. Because when he was recorded, it was Bob.
If his life started during his campaign, then yes, his whole life.
Yeah. And that's what's incredible about this is he really has excited the hardcore left with these big time donations. Oh. And I don't know, you know, it's
$38 million.
We're talking about, huge, you know, Hollywood celebrities. You know, I think Beto Duval maybe behind that, Beto Downey Jr. You know, there's a lot of big celebrities. I don't know if he's gone in the world of sports. You know, I don't know what Beto Pujols has done. I mean, maybe he has donated as well. I'm not 100% sure. I was watching the NBA last night, and you know, it's back into effect now. And I was really amazed because first of all, it's great to watch the NBA because you know you get that feeling of like the old school of old school sports. You know, you got the announcer Marv Beto, who is giving you all. It's just really interesting to watch it, and you know, who knows how many of them have. I know LeBron James was one of the people who was kind of excited about Beto. I'm not sure if you go over to football, if BG3 was one of these people, former Redskins quarterback, BG3, who is, I don't know if he's donated at all, but we'll find out about that. It's going to be interesting. You know, musical celebrities as well, like Herb Beto and the Tijuana Brass. What do they feel?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
right.
I don't know. I'm not sure exactly. All I know is anyone with those letters, you get to Beto somehow.
Yes.
And I'm sure, I mean, this goes back, you know, back to kids playing pranks on each other. Like if I do a prank call to you right now, you know, phone's ringing, you answer it.
Hello?
Hi, do you have Prince Beto in a can? This is so common. It goes back so long. It's so deeply ingrained.
Deep.
In our community.
Yes.
I'm like, hey, it's Fat Beto. Everyone knows that.
I remember that.
Yeah,
that's one of the things I remember
that.
From my childhood.
Yeah, everyone watched it. And I'm glad that, you know, we're able to see that this is all coming together for Beto. And he's able to, again, teach us. I'm trying to find out the truth. And we are now learning from many people across the country what the truth is, which is, so far, nothing that Beto said has been accurate. But I think we're going to find out the opposite very soon.
Well, we've asked for people to call us and tell us about their white friends named Beto in El Paso or McAllen or whatever border town you live in, because I'm sure it's common not just in those two towns, but virtually every border town, I would assume.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where white people are called Beto.
Everyone knows that.
So let's talk to Lene in Texas. Hey, Lene, you're on the Glenn Beck Program with Pat and Stu.
Good morning, guys. You're morning. Cracking me up over here in El Paso.
That's good to hear.
So you have Betos? Do you have a lot of Betos in your family? Okay.
I actually do. I have three. My husband is Beto, my stepson is Beto, and my father-in-law is also Beto, but none of them go by Robert. None of them.
None of them. So they all go. Wait,
they all really do go by Beto?
No, they really
no.
don't.
Okay.
I want to start calling my husband Beto. I told him this. You're going to be Beto coming up here pretty soon, buddy. And he says, no way. But the three of them actually don't like the name Robert, so they go by their middle names anyway. So there's no Betos in my family.
So you have three Roberts in your family. You're from El Paso, and none of them go by Beto.
Huh.
None of them do.
What is your background? Are you a boring white person?
I am. I'm born and raised, and I get the question all the time, are you military? And I say, no, there are white people here in El Paso.
That is allowed? They do allow that. Okay, good. That's interesting. Again, that seems to be evidence against Beto.
It does.
We really should report this to him, because when he goes on national TV and says these things, he's going to get fact-checked hard today.
Gonna
this
get
is
going to
be a terrible day for him.
Yeah. Thanks, Lene.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
I'm very upset about this.
So that's... Well, only every person who's called so far has contradicted Beto on that.
And that's why, like, we want to be factual. We want to dig deep into the science, and that's what we're doing here. You know, Pat and I both come from a scientific background, and that's why we've always looked at, you know, for one of our examples, of course, is Beto Einstein, who is a a great hero. He's done amazing things. So I hope we can get these facts nailed down.
Let's see. We got Berta. Berta in Texas.
Hi. Good morning. I am having so much fun. My brother, I have a twin brother who is named Roberto at birth. As an adult, we call him Robert.
Okay.
Or Beto.
You do.
I do get Beto. Okay. Now, what is your background? Are you a boring white person or... something that would be positive in our society?
We're Americans of Mexican descent.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this doesn't help.
I don't call myself Hispanic or Latina or Chicana or Chuca. I call myself an American of Mexican descent.
First of all,
My name is Berta, but I like to be called Berta, or get this, Bobby.
Wow.
See? Okay.
Wow.
So you're going the other way. You're going from Berta to Bobby, which is interesting in this context.
I've used that name for 40 years, and I don't like to be called Bertha, which is the natural inclination from people. And I know Beto personally.
Oh, you do?
I used to work for the VA in El Paso as the secretary to the director and assistant director. When he first started his term in Congress, he was very adamant about helping veterans, and we were overjoyed because we needed help getting the message out about the veterans. And I gave him a lot of my information because I knew what was going on. Stuff was crossing my desk and everything. When I found out that Beto was running for Senate, I knew he had used the veterans as a launching point. And then he threw them under the bus.
Wow.
To get his name known, to get his name nationally known. And by the way, I call him personally myself, I call him Horseface. not attractive, tall and gangly. He's got that Adam's apple that sticks out a foot long. I don't want to seem like an angry Hispanic female. I am just an angry conservative. And I forgot to tell you, I have my best friend, and she's dating an Albert. She calls him Beto, but he's a raging liberal and an atheist.
Well, and it does seem like, and thank you for the call, it does seem like that there's a there's an effort made when you prioritize identity politics over everything else. These things are sensible, right? Like, it's sensible that Barry Obama was Barack Obama, right? It's sensible in that world. It's sensible if you're Elizabeth Warren to claim you have Native American heritage and in your school and submit recipes to powwow chow. Like, that makes sense in that world because that's all you prioritize. It's the only thing that matters, right? If the only thing that matters is your identity as a victim, then classifying yourself as associated with a victimized population of evil conservatives does a lot of good for you. There's a real incentive and motivation to do it, and we seem to see it over and over and over again. And, you know, look, maybe he was called Beto. Was it? I don't know. It's possible. I haven't seen a ton of evidence that it's accurate, nor that it makes any sense. But beyond that, the idea that he is put on every single sign solely the four letters B-E-T-O. This is not, like, that might be his nickname. And it might be that it's okay to call him Beto. But he's not doing it because that's the case. He's doing it because he's trying to fool a bunch of people. Yes. And especially back, you know, when he was trying to get to this level. At this point, I don't know, I think everybody knows. but it helped him climb to this level.
And it's the name that appears on the ballot, too, which is interesting.
Very strange.
Very strange. A lot of times, if it's a nickname, they'll put, like, Robert Francis, and then in parentheses, Beto O'Rourke, so you can identify him from, you know, his campaign stuff.
Which, that kind of makes sense, although I don't even love that
but
all that much.
It's only Beto O'Rourke on the ballot. So that, I mean, the guy has gone to great lengths not to use Robert Francis, not to be identified as Irish-American. Now, if you press him on it, he's obviously going to admit, yeah, I'm Irish-American, and I come from a long line of Irish-Americans.
Right.
But that's not what you get from him when you just watch his campaign ads or you see him in a debate. He doesn't identify like that at all.
He's trying to be a Kennedy, right? He wants to be a Kennedy and appeal to the Hispanic community. And it's like, mm-hmm. you're not BFK, okay? We all know who BFK was. He's been gone for a long time. We all know that you're not BFK. And just stop trying to be BFK. You're not him.
He's working on it, though. He's trying. He's trying. I mean, Beto Fitzgerald Kennedy was an incredible person. We all know that.
He was.
We know
that. A terrible tragedy. And
yeah.
I mean, it really was an amazing turn of events there. And it's good to see. It's good to see that this has gone on. Mm-hmm. I don't see how people don't see through this. You know, I think maybe on the left, they don't want to because they think they have a chance. You know, every few years, the left gets this terrible tease where they get to get close in a few polls. I mean, Wendy Murphy's going to change Texas. Who's the mayor of Houston that was going to change Texas?
You remember,
he was the mayor when you were down there, right?
Yeah.
Sort of a moderate leaning Democrat. Uh-huh. He was also going to change Texas. Uh-huh. Every time they run somebody, there's somebody who's going to just change it. And it's going to, no longer, we're going to have to deal with these darn Republicans down there. We turn this state blue, we've won forever. And by the way, that part of it is true. If they turn this state blue,
that's true.
They will run the country for a very long time if they're capable of doing that, just from an electoral vote standard. But still, it's a way to suck the money out of small donors who are throwing it away. You know, we keep hearing how bad people have it. And I think that's true in a lot of cases.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, if you have it really bad because Donald Trump has ruined your life or whatever it is it really the best expenditure of your money to send it to somebody out of state in Texas who's going to lose by 8 or 10 or 12? I can't imagine that that's a thing that you should be encouraging if you actually cared about people's well-being.
But the Hollywood crowd loves him. They're talking about running him for president in 2020. Even Beto De Niro pushed his name out there.
Really?
Yeah.
Beto De Niro. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, they've got the... They got the name in common, but I think it goes beyond that. I think he likes his politics.
I think he does too.
You know,
Bob Duvall has done it as well. Bob Downey Jr. or Beto Downey Jr. We know about that. Beto Duvall. It's really a good collection out in Hollywood.
It is.
It's a big group. Beto Brooks is also is also. This is so stupid, but I love it.
I do.
It's just so insane. Your name is Robert.
Mm-hmm.
Robert or Bob. If you're a white dude, that's what you get.
Yes.
I don't even know why you get Bob. Honestly, it's kind of a summary of your name. Rob seems to me even makes more sense. Right?
Does.
But whatever. Yeah. We'll give it to you. You know, Beto.
But Beto, no.
No. I'm going to go with no on that.
888-727-BECK.
We do the show and say these bizarre things as we sit in our X chairs. X chair is awesome. It is the new chair that we had in there. We had these kind of crappy chairs here for a while, and Glenn in particular would whine about them constantly because that's kind of what Glenn does. It's funny for a guy who dedicates so much time to physical training, when he's a little uncomfortable, you know, he really does complain.
He whines. Yeah.
Yeah, you'd think a guy who has spent, you know, months and months and months hardcore training for a triathlon and a canoeing across the Mediterranean, which is where he is right now, and then he's going to come back and then train elephants and do an elephant show in a traveling circus. You'd think a guy like that would whine when his chair wasn't so great. But he's not whining anymore because he's got the X chair. The X chair is the most modern and stylish piece of furniture you're gonna have if you've got an office and you're sitting there all the time and you have to stand up all the time because you're uncomfortable. You're not going to need to do that with your X chair. X-Chair is a great way to keep your energy up, to keep your concentration up during a long day at work, get more productive. Don't waste another day with a generic chair you've been using. Get an X-Chair. Feel the difference for yourself. It's on sale now for $100 off. Go to xchairbeck. Now, it's the letter X, chairbeck.com, or call 844-4XCHAIR. X-Chair comes with a 30-day no-questions-asked guarantee of complete satisfaction. Go to xchairbeck.com and use the code Beck, B-E-C-K. Get the free footrest as well, 844-4XCHAIR or xchairbeck.com.
Pat Gray and Stu for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. You can also hear my show every weekday, immediately preceding this one, from 7 to 9 Eastern Time. 888-727-BECK. Let's go to Jack in Pennsylvania. Jack, you're on the Glenn Beck Program. Hi.
Hey, Pat and Steve. Love you guys. I think you're missing a very important point, and that is that O'Rourke identifies as Hispanic. So therefore, he must be Belize.
Wow, that's a great point.
Sure is.
Again, we are learning today.
Yeah.
I forgot that was the standard.
How insensitive of us.
Mm-hmm.
How hateful and downright ugly that is, that we haven't spoken about how he does identify.
Yeah.
And it must be as Hispanic. Thanks, Jack.
Thanks. It's interesting with that sort of talk. It's like, you know, the Elizabeth Warren is essentially identifying as a Native American without real evidence that she is. She's getting beat up. I mean, this has been one of the biggest political disasters of all time. Her coming out and trying to say that she actually is Hispanic or Native American.
Sort of proved it by going back 6 to 10 generations.
Tried to prove it.
1/1024th.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
The left hates it. They're like, this is playing into the worst of our beliefs about, you know, blood being the determining factor in these things. And they hate it. They have destroyed her over this. She's handled it terribly. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's almost like one of those things. I don't know. Maybe they should have leaked it through another source. The fact that she's associating herself with coming out and doing this is amazing. But the identifying thing, there's two parts of that. Like, I, as a, you know, say the, you know, the libertarian side of me, right? Like, I don't care what people say they are, right? Like, it makes no difference to me if she says she's Native American or not. I don't care. But beyond that, there's an actual truth. You know, if Rachel Dolezal wants to come out and say she's black, or Sean King wants to come out and say he's black, when they're not black, does that matter to me? I don't care what they're doing. They're I think they're lying, right? And they're doing this for a reason. But that doesn't mean it affects me in any way. However, we have to be able to stand up for the truth. The truth is that Sean King is white. The truth is that Rachel Dolezal is white.
And the truth is that Beto O'Rourke is white.
Is white. And, you know, that's okay. You know, people are supposed to be able to be, you know, we're not supposed to care so much about these identifying factors, but we're in a world in which the left only embraces identity politics. It's a sick world. We need to cure it.
Pat and Stu, 888-727-BECK. Glenn's going to be back from his trip Monday, we think. Right now he is, I think he's climbing K2 right this second.
Yeah.
Right? I think they're 2/3 of the way to the summit right now.
Yeah, it's the second highest peak in the world. Some people say it's the highest and the most difficult to climb. We probably should have spent more time on this. I know Glenn does not want to bring it up because, you know, he feels like it's bragging or whatever. But yeah, climbing K2 this weekend, you can follow his progress. I know there's a website. I don't remember what the name of it is, but if you kind of go out, you search for Glenn Beck climbing K2, it'll probably pop up.
Probably.
Because I think they're doing
unless
some live
he put
streaming.
This on the dark web.
Yeah, a lot of time he does.
Yeah.
For some reason, he puts stuff on the dark web. So I don't know. Maybe you'll have to find it there. But we're here talking about Beto O'Rourke and Ted Cruz in a Texas Senate battle. A lot of people calling in and saying that they knew a lot of people who were white and not named Beto in the communities that he talked about on CNN last night. And then, look, it could be a regional thing. I know there's a lot of differences between North and South. I mean, people look at, you know, figures like Abraham Lincoln and Beto E. Lee and all these people who are, you know, from these different cultures differently from where they are. So I think that that's something that we can kind of look into as a possible cause for Beto's confusion here. There are issues, however, when you try to appropriate culture, Pat. When you try to reach into some other cultural group and speak to them, sometimes there are issues. There's a case of this that the media is liking to highlight today. And it's a commercial run on behalf of a congressman in Arkansas, French Hill. Now, he had nothing to do with this at all. Although, surely, if you watch CNN today, he will be, you know, blamed for it.
Excoriated, yes, no doubt. Of course.
It's just some unrelated group running ads in support of French Hill, which is part of our ridiculous campaign finance law situation, where people, when they want to donate more money than the maximum, which is completely unconstitutional to have in this country, when people want to do that, they give it to super PACs and they run ads on the behalf of the candidate that has no control over those ads. So this is an ad being run in Arkansas. It's related to Brett Kavanaugh, and it's being criticized. I don't know if you can detect anything here, Pat. I would like to get your call on whether you can detect anything. It seems a little odd here.
Okay.
Here is the ad from the group supporting French Hill.
What do you think about what's happening in Washington?
Our Congressman French Hill and the Republicans know that it's dangerous to change the presumption of innocence to a presumption of guilt, especially for black men. If the Democrats can do that to a white justice of the Supreme Court with no evidence, no corroboration, and all of her witnesses, including her best friend, say it didn't happen, what will happen to our husbands, our fathers, or our sons when a white girl lies on them?
Girl, white Democrats will be lynching black folk again.
Honey, I've always told my son, don't be messing around with that. If you get caught, she will cry rape.
I'm voting to keep Congressman French Hill and the Republicans because we have to protect our men and boys. We can't afford to let white Democrats take us back to bad old days of race verdicts, life sentences, and lynchings when a white girl screams rape.
Paid for by black Americans for the president's agenda. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
First of all, I would totally watch a show with them hosting it. This sounds fantastic. And these are obviously real points they're making.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the point of, and this is a fascinating thing from the left, who thinks that, you know, we one of the biggest reasons Beto is in the public eye in the United States and not just a Texas figure is because of this video he made about it's a great idea to kneel for the national anthem. And what's behind that story? People like Colin Kaepernick saying that black people are being unfairly accused without evidence and being shot in the streets for no reason because for crimes they didn't commit. At the same time, we're supposed to get on board, if you're on the left, you're supposed to get on board with a new standard in which any white woman can accuse a man of rape and we're just supposed to believe her. That is not going to work out well for African Americans or any race of male. But this is the type of thing that makes no sense. I mean, there are real cases of this. This isn't a fake thing. Go back to, you know, we talked about Tilltown. Go back to Emmett Till. I mean, this goes back a long way where black people were accused of doing terrible things to white people when they didn't. And entire communities went and attacked the black person. This is obviously going back quite a ways, but it is something that legitimately is part of our history. And it's surprising at the least if liberals actually cared about black people and black men, like they say that they do, that they would want to embrace a standard like this. So the point behind the ad, I think, is relatively fair and is something that should be communicated, I think, to the African-American community. The criticism is perhaps
a little overdone. Potentially.
That is the criticism here. And it's interesting because I don't think I don't know for sure on this, but my understanding is that these are the people who recorded this are African Americans. That there's not like a white person doing a black voice, quote unquote. These are African Americans talking. And I guess the idea is that they have picked the stereotypical African Americans to do the commercial. It's very uncomfortable. I don't think that this is something that French Hill necessarily is embracing by any means, but it is something that's making a lot of waves in the media because they're trying to make it seem like, well, this is just this Republican and who's a racist. I mean, he didn't have anything to do with the ad, but besides that, it's an interesting double standard that we find ourselves dealing with.
Always, yeah, and we get that double standard in to the 10th power. And, you know, I guess we get kind of used to it by now. I'm just sort of used to the double standard and to the point where you almost feel silly bringing up the double standard because it happens so much.
It is. And it's, but it's so obvious sometimes you have to. For example, does anyone, I mean, if you don't live in French Hill's district, do you know who French Hill is? He's not a major.
I actually don't.
Yeah, he's not a major national figure as a Congress person. So, you know, like I think this wouldn't be a big national story. It is a big national story today. What is not a big national story is a name that almost everyone knows, Louis Farrakhan. Louis Farrakhan is not a big national story today. He's making no waves at all for his comments yet again about Jews. Now, this is a person who has met with, you know, people like Keith Ellison. He has met with several congressmen. He's been embraced many times, but even, you know, fairly recently, people meeting with him. We know that Barack Obama has, at one point, apparently had met with him. We didn't find that out until like he was out of office.
Yeah.
Like, how that happens is amazing. But here is the latest from Louis Farrakhan.
Remember, every knock is a boost. So when they talk about Farrakhan, call me a hater. You know what they do. Call me an anti-Semite. Stop it. I'm anti-termite. I don't know nothing about hating somebody because of their religious preference.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You didn't know anything nothing. About hating somebody because of their religion. Really?
Really.
You seemingly just called Jewish people termites. Yeah, you don't know nothing about that.
Hey, he said more clearly than that, that that's what he's talking about in other speeches.
Wow.
Pretty amazing. The other thing that's interesting about Louis Farrakhan is nobody loves Louis Farrakhan more than Louis Farrakhan.
Oh, that's for sure.
I mean, this guy thinks he's really clever.
Yeah, he does.
Every rhyming line, he's got this gigantic smile on his face like he's uncovered some deep historical truth or solved, you know, a perpetual motion machine. The guy is like...
He put everybody in their place just now by slamming them down. I don't know nothing about hating no religious group. I'm not anti-Semite. I'm anti-termite.
Like, he thinks that's awesome. That's,
yeah, he does.
He's really excited about himself that he realized both of those words and in it. Like, he is excited about discovering that.
That was an amazing revelation to him.
This is something that he's hanging around and he's like, I don't have any speeches scheduled. Schedule one. We need a speech just for this line. That's how excited he looks when he delivers that. He's really pumped up about it.
And I don't think he got the requisite reaction from the crowd. I think he wanted more of a, you know, a gasp or a laugh or something. He just kind of got, wait, I don't know how to respond to that. That was kind of a bad statement. Yeah. I think he's going to be in trouble for that.
I'll give him this, though. The words do end in a similar fashion.
They do.
So that is something that he was able to nail.
They do.
Yeah. Termite and semite. So that's why he said it that way.
Powerful. Powerful.
That's really funny.
Oh man,
he's like he's so happy. He looks so happy as he delivers I can't wait to deliver genocide upon the Jews. And he just big smiles. As long as he can come up with something that rhymes, you know, people have simple pleasures, and I think that's you know, he's got a couple things he's asking for: rhyming words and killing the Jews. Other than that,
yeah, it's just come on,
you know, maybe a good cup of iced tea, you know, something the simple pleasures. Beyond that,
I mean, he's said some pretty outrageous things that get very little coverage, and this is another one. People just they seem to kind of ignore him and act like he's not there supporting Democrats. He's kind of not there, you know, at the very edge of the left. But if anybody on the right, again, this is the double standard, had said anything approaching that. About any can you imagine if somebody on the right had said something like that about Muslims? Would that be everywhere? It would be everywhere on the mainstream media. But he, for some reason, kind of flies under the radar and gets away with all of this stuff. He still hasn't really suffered any consequences from talking about killing Malcolm X.
Which he pretty much admitted.
Which he pretty much admitted with this.
Yeah, I love Elijah Muhammad enough that if you attack him, I would kill you. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And I'm not a killer. Mm-hmm. But neither are you. But if somebody attack what you love,
yes,
each one of you in here would become a killer instantaneously. Mm. We don't give a damn about no white man law when you attack what we love.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hmm.
It ain't none of your business. Mm-hmm. What have you got to say about it? Did you teach Malcolm? Did you make Malcolm?
No.
Did mm-hmm. you clean up Malcolm? Did you put Malcolm out before the world? Was Malcolm your traitor or was he ours? And if we dealt with him like a nation deals with a traitor, what the hell business is it of yours?
Is that amazing?
I mean, that's almost an exact admission
uh-huh.
that he murdered somebody.
Yeah, that we killed men. It's none of your business, though. Oh, we don't follow your white man law.
Yeah.
Wait, not murdering somebody is white man law?
I hope that's not true.
I don't think that's true.
No, I don't think it is either. Yeah. And by the way, his Twitter account is still active. In case you were, if you have a conservative that recently had his account removed, you could still get Lewis. Lewis could still keep posting these videos.
The Jewish termite thing was posted on Twitter.
Yeah,
I mean, they didn't shut him down.
This is absolute Hitler stuff we're talking about. This is Hitler stuff. This is
jeez.
This is Third Reich stuff. This is, you know, the architect of the Third Reich, Beto Spears stuff. It's just not right, Pat.
No, that's not.
We're getting deep. We're getting deep down here. But I think it's important to point out. This is, I mean, that's scary. Uh-huh.
It is.
That is that's amazing. Scary. And it's the fact that he continues to get away with it with no repercussions still.
No.
I mean, like, yeah, yes, if you ask a Democrat publicly, will you distance yourself from this guy? Most of them will say yes. They will distance themselves. I have nothing to do with him. They will attempt that. Mm-hmm. Then you find pictures of them together.
Right.
Barack
Obama.
Comes out later. Mm-hmm. But at least they're at the point that the only real repercussions this guy has faced for any of this anti-Semitism is, you know, basically that he occasionally gets a public denial from a public source. And remember, he said that very early on with Obama, saying that he said he would say this. Yeah, he's going to distance himself from me, but that's okay as long as he does the right thing.
Right.
You know, I mean, so this is... It's a terrifying thing, and the idea that, I mean, certainly the you know, you remember the Million Man March, right? Mm-hmm. Which, you know, was not a million, but it was a lot of people. The Nation of Islam is not a group of 20 here. Yet we'll find the Jews will not replace us guys from Charlottesville. Gosh, that's a national story.
And we talk about
every
that
day.
For years
for
and
years. And years and years. The biggest story of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys, you know, it's a much larger contingency here.
Much. 888-727-BECK. 888-727-BECK. Pat and Stu for Glenn, who's back on Monday. Let's go to Adam in North Carolina. Hey, Adam, you're on the Blaze or the Glenn Beck program or both.
Hey, Glenn. Hi, Jeffy. How y'all doing?
Thank you. Well, I got 30 seconds, man. Go ahead, quick.
My friends call me Bet Till all the time.
Yeah. What's your name?
Adam.
I don't know. Again, I don't think this helps Beto O'Rourke
really
at all.
Work, does it?
All right, thank you for the call. I mean, Robert Francis O'Rourke, I'm comfortable calling him. I'm comfortable with Bob Frank O'Rourke, which is fine too, but I just don't think Beto works.
No, not at all.
Hey, it's Glenn, and I want to tell you about something that you should either end your day with or start your morning with, and that is The News and Why It Matters. If you like this show, you're going to love The News and Why It Matters. It's a bunch of us that all get together at the end of the day and just talk about the stories that matter to you and your life. The News and Why It Matters. Look for it now wherever you download your favorite podcast.
Glenn Beck.
It's Pat and Stu for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program. And by the way, you can listen to my show, Pat Gray Unleashed, immediately preceding this one every weekday morning at 7 Eastern, which is 6 Central.
On the Blaze Radio and TV networks,
yes,
which is great. And also get the podcast. Sign up for the podcast. You can subscribe to not only the podcast of the radio show that you hear every mm-hmm. day with Glenn Beck, but also Pat Gray Unleashed. You know, you can also get Jeffy's podcast, which we're going to be talking to Jeffy here in a little bit. His podcast, of course, is called Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher, which is...
It's just an expression.
Oh, yeah. It's like hanging out. You know, we're talking about issues.
Yeah, we're just talking things over. That's all.
We've talked a little bit about the elections today. This update is kind of fascinating. I think if you want a boil down quick version of where we stand at this very moment, it looks very likely that the GOP will hold the Senate. It looks very likely that the GOP will lose the House. You know, the governors, there's a bunch of stories there. There's a lot of individual stories on both sides. But if you're just going to summarize overall, that's likely what we're looking at right now. These things can change, as we know. It's not a lock on either one of them. Things can change in significant ways. There's one thing that will not change, however, in this race, which is the Democrats have found a way to milk their people out of a lot of money. A lot of money. Now, this is, of course, the party that constantly tells us they want money out of politics. They can't do it, Pat. They don't. They do not want people buying elections. They don't want people and they constantly are outraising Republicans in these big high profile races, you know, presidency and things like that. I mean, Barack Obama famously outraised everybody in the universe. And, you know, Donald Trump spent like nothing on his campaign in 2016.
Yeah,
it's an undertold story of that election. I mean, Hillary, if it's true that you can buy elections, Hillary Clinton absolutely would have won. I mean, she had way more money, far more resources, because, you know, Donald Trump didn't throw a lot of his own money into the race. They just ran it on a shoestring for much of the time, and they were still able to win. It kind of disproves every liberal theory about money in politics.
Because he was kind of going on the theory that he didn't need anybody else's money. So he sort of didn't try to fundraise much.
No. I mean, he raised some money.
And, a little bit, yeah.
And he used some of his own money.
But it wasn't like $1 billion like she did.
No, it wasn't even close. And this is, part of that is he's a big celebrity, right? Like, he was a celebrity before he was a candidate. So he was able to get a lot of TV time for free, and everybody was covering him all the time. You could see now, I mean, even after he's president, the media is absolutely obsessed with him as a person. Like, they cannot get enough of him talking about anything. Every single story, you know, the Saudi Arabia murder story is all about Trump. Every story is all about Trump all the time. I mean, this is a foreign citizen who was living in America who was murdered in a foreign embassy in Turkey by someone likely in Saudi Arabia, or, you know, from Saudi Arabia.
Yet that's about Trump.
It's about Donald Trump somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is, but that's the case. So there are some differences there. We will have another test of this theory, though, in this midterm election. Can you buy a midterm election? And this is incredible. This is the House fundraising across all races, not including, you know, it's not about candidates that lost in primaries. This is from 538. Now, this is an incumbency advantage, remember, for the GOP. The GOP currently controls the House. Usually it's easier to raise money if you're an incumbent. However, this goes back to 1998. Here are the percentages of Democratic fundraising. In 1998, they had 43% of all fundraising, okay, in 1998 on the House. 2000, it was 47%. 2002, 47%. 2004, 46%. You kind of see a pattern there. They're a little bit, you know, Republicans slightly outraising them there. Kind of changes in 2006, where it goes to 50% Democrat, then 56% Democrat in 2008. That's Barack Obama's first election. It's been hanging around 50% ever since. 2010 was 48%. 2012, 44%. 2014, 47%. 2016, 50%. So you get that. There's a range there from about 43 to 56% that is broken. And 56 was an outlier. Most of the time, it's right between 47 and 50, 51. So far in 2018, Democrats have raised 65% of the money going to the House.
Wow.
Again, they've never been higher than 56. 65%, a 65-35 split against Republicans. They are out. There was a congressman who came out the other day. He raised $800,000 in his district. Thought he did a good job. His opponent announced $2.6
million. Jeez.
This is like, it's unheard of when it comes to money and the disparity going on now. Now, the Democrats are favored to take the House. I don't know how much it has to do with money. But if they were to lose this race with these with this sort of climate, it would be mm-hmm. a complete destruction of any argument that money can buy elections. I mean, this is... They're going to complain. I mean, Beto O'Rourke was on the stage complaining with Ted Cruz about money and how Ted Cruz is influenced by, you know, he had already made a $100,000 donation to him. Like this is a big deal in today's world. But I mean, he's raised, this doesn't even include Beto, he's raised $38 million, more than any Senate candidate
by himself
in history.
Yeah.
For a quarter. Mm-hmm. Which is incredible. You said it compares to Barack Obama's raising. And which year was
it? It was more if you compare quarter to last quarter of the campaign in 2008, he raised more than Barack Obama during his presidential campaign.
That's a presidential election.
And that's
amazing. This is a Texas Senate race where he barely has any chance to win.
Uh-huh.
Now, yeah. It's funny. The Senate race record he broke was the record set by Rick Lazio. Of course, you remember Senator Lazio from New York.
Running against Hillary, right?
Running against Hillary. He did not win that race. In fact, it was not a close race. Even though Rick Lazio wasn't a bad candidate, it was not a close race. It was Hillary, right, in New York. Mm-hmm. You'd expect her to win. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, again, you're around 50 in almost every... It's almost a 50-50 split every year. And this year, it's 65-35. That's a big deal. And the other thing that's kind of interesting in the bad side, if you want to get scaremongering for a while, and why not? Glenn's out. We haven't had mm-hmm. enough scaremongering lately.
We haven't said it always ends with a bullet to the head all week.
All week.
The last 2 days. But now we just did.
Now we have. So. Going back in history, looking at 238 seats with a Democratic incumbent, only 8% of them get knocked off when you have a Democratic incumbent running. For Republicans, the rate is twice as high. It's 16%. Now, is that a big difference? I mean, 16% is still not high, but it does show that Republicans wind up losing these incumbency races a little bit more often. If you're worried about the Senate, there's a little bit of something there to be worried about. I think they're going to win the Senate. I think you're going to see a 53 or 54 seat majority. I think they may pick up a couple of seats.
Oh,
I'm pretty bullish right now on Arizona. I'm pretty bullish right now on Texas. Those two were in question for a while.
I really believe. I think Ted winds up winning by maybe 10 points or more. I think it'll be a double-digit
victory. I think there's a good chance of that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised to see 6 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
I would be surprised if
it
gets too much closer.
I think
it'll
be fairly comfortable.
Yeah. I think that's where he stands right now.
Yeah.
Arizona is razor-thin margins right now, but I think it's trending well for the Republican there. McSally, I think you've got toss-ups in states like Nevada and Missouri and Florida. Montana seems to be leaning a little bit to the Democrat, but you put that in the toss-up.
Yeah, he's up by 3.
Yeah, it's close.
Last I saw.
It's close, but pretty much a toss-up race. But Florida is a complete toss-up.
There's just no reason for the Democrats to continually win in Montana. I don't understand it.
I don't know how they do that. Or West Virginia. I mean, we're not even talking about West Virginia here. I think Joe Manchin probably sealed his reelection with his Kavanaugh vote, which was for Kavanaugh, the only mm-hmm. Democrat who did that. This is his brand there. I'll buck the system when I have to. I don't believe it. I mean, you look at his voting record, he's worse than every single Republican. Think about this. You complain about Mitch McConnell. You mm-hmm. complain about Susan Collins. You complain about
Lisa Murkowski.
Joe Manchin's voting record is much worse than all of them. All of them.
Yeah.
It's not even close. I mean, Mitch McConnell is like the biggest conservative of all time.
I mean, for a Democrat, he's moderate.
Yeah, he's the most moderate Democrat.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not saying much because Democrats are now communists.
Again, yeah.
They're socialists and communists.
Yeah.
For the most part.
You think about Jeff Flake. Here's a guy who's getting bludgeoned so much by the White House and by the conservative media mm-hmm. that he's resigning and not even trying to fight for that seat. That's the seat McSally is running for. Well, he votes with the president way more often than Joe Manchin. It's not even close.
Yeah.
You know, again, West Virginia is a state. It's probably the most pro-Trump state in the union. He won West Virginia by almost, what was it, 30 points?
It was close to 30, I think, yeah.
And, you know, this is like, it's bizarre they would go for, I mean, Manchin's got mm-hmm. a big name in West Virginia. Again, if you want to pick a Democrat in the Senate, Manchin would be the guy you'd be most optimistic for. He voted even more, I mean, Heitkamp almost certainly is going to lose now in North Dakota. But, I mean, in West Virginia. You got Manchin. You got his Kavanaugh vote. You have a couple of votes. But again, this is a guy who voted for Obamacare. He is a Democrat. This is not a... He's a moderate Democrat as compared to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. But is that what West Virginia actually wants?
You wouldn't think so.
Apparently so, though. He seems to be leading in the polls. It is an interesting development there. It should be a winnable seat in this environment. Right now, Manchin's leading that one fairly comfortably. But even without the Manchin seat, you're at a... I think you can get to 53, 54 without going crazy. And I think you can get to 50 to 51... It would be a real surprise if they lost the Senate at this point. I mean, I think there's a good, 80% chance that they're... I mean, most models are showing about an 80% chance they hold it, and I think that's a safe assumption.
Yeah, interestingly, when you mentioned Heidi Heitkamp in North Dakota, she's down by 8.7 now.
Yeah,
the average is 8.7 points to the Republican Kevin Cramer. So
yeah,
that's looking pretty good.
Yeah,
pick up a seat there.
I think honestly, you had two races decided by the Kavanaugh vote. One was Manchin, two
was
Heitkamp. Her vote against that sealed it, I think. I don't think she can win that race now. I think she's going to lose it. I think she's going to lose it pretty big. I would not be surprised, as you said, a double digits situation happens there.
Yeah.
But look, again, North Dakota is a conservative state.
Mm-hmm.
They are looking at Heitkamp, and I think a lot of people like to say, well, we've got this one Democrat. We've got the one good Democrat. I think people like to say that. Mm-hmm. I think states in general like to say, well, we're not partisan. We've got, Democratic governor, or we've got a Democratic senator. And there's some level of pride there to say, like, we're not only voting one way. When you vote against Brett Kavanaugh in those circumstances with the arguments she used, this is not someone who is a borderline Democrat. This is someone who is embracing the same sort of standards you're seeing from Cory Booker and Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and all of these far left figures.
And good for North Dakotans for jettisoning her as a result of that.
It looks that way.
Good.
Yeah, it looks that way. So, yeah there's some optimistic things there, but the danger's there as well. I mean, this is going to be an interesting one. And the thing that's really unfortunate is if all that happens is, let's say the result is, and I think this would be a good result for Republicans right now, which is you get 53 or 54 senators in there. And you lose the House, but you lose it narrowly. You lose it, let's say, by 8 or 10 seats. You have a minority. You might be able to get some stuff through in certain circumstances, but it's going to be difficult. And that's the thing. There's going to be almost nothing they can get through. Almost nothing. With the exception of maybe some bipartisan spending bills, which they'll find ways to get those through. I'm sure of it. But other than that, you're not going to get any real advances. You're not going to get any tax stuff. You're going to have tough times with any regulation. You're going to get, none of this stuff is going to be easy.
As long as you keep running a massive deficit, you'll get all those bills through.
Yeah.
just keep spending money and they'll vote for it.
Yeah.
That's not a problem.
To show you the House and how dramatic it is, at least by the polls look. And I know you're going to say, well, the polls got the last thing wrong. Well, some of it they got right. And a lot of it they got right, including the popular vote, by the way, which is what they were actually trying to predict in the national polls. Some of the state polls were totally off, though. So we don't know. Will this hold? We're not sure. But right now, the models are showing there is a 0.1% chance that the Democrats could pick up 83 seats. Now, it's a 0.1% chance,
wow.
So it's a really unlikely. Like, you'd say that's an absolute no. They're not going to get to 83, right?
Mm-hmm.
The models are also showing there's a 0.1% chance for Republicans to hold the same amount of seats they have now. It's that bad an environment. The same... Same percentage chance. The crazy outlier possibility is Democrats plus 83, Republicans plus zero.
What is the chance of not holding the same amount of seats, but keeping the majority?
About 20%, they're saying. About a 20% chance they can keep the majority right now.
Wow.
About the same percentage chance that Democrats can get the Senate. So, I mean, and if they get the House, if all the Democrats do is get the House, they're going to be able to launch investigations like crazy.
Right. It's going to be a nightmare.
Almost certainly impeach
the
president.
They will impeach him.
Right.
Like, now, will he be convicted? No.
No.
The Senate won't.
There's no chance of him really being convicted unless something dramatic were to happen.
Right.
Because you'd have to get to, is it 67 seats? Pat, you know this stuff better than I do. Mm-hmm. It's 67 seats, and they're not going to get anywhere close to that. Even if they get the majority in the Senate, they're not going to be able to do that. But they will have subpoena power. They will bog down the administration in constant investigations. And look, investigating something that's real is fine. What they are going to do is not.
It's
going to
be ridiculous.
Bad. It's going to be ridiculous. They're going to investigate.
It's going to be a nightmare.
There's a new story out today that Ivanka Trump may have committed a crime. Have you heard this?
No.
because when she was promoting the sale of real estate when she was back in the day, and you know, doing her job was with the Trump Organization, she said things like, "Well, this one's almost sold out," and it was not almost sold out. Like, were they like saying like, "Our new building in New York, you should get in now because it's almost sold out," and in reality, it was only like 20% sold out. Now, look, there's an
let's investigate that
to be made, right? Like, you shouldn't say that because if someone's investing in a property,
I demand
I
an investigation,
that. And these wind up going bankrupt.
I demand it.
You joke, it's happening.
I believe it.
There's a huge report that came out from a left wing media source that this is going on, and New York has investigated them a bunch of times already. They're going to go after the House and the Senate if they get control of it. Will launch investigation after investigation after investigation, and nothing will happen in this government.
They'll do an investigation as to why Donald Trump doesn't talk about his daughter Tiffany as much as he does Ivanka.
I
want to see the results of that one, though. I really do. There's something weird there.
I know. Poor Tiffany. I always feel like she's never included in anything.
There's people probably right now saying, wait, he has a daughter named Tiffany?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
So that was from Marla Maples, right?
I think so.
The only one from... Yeah. So it went Ivana Trump, which you got Ivanka and Don Jr. and Eric, right?
Right.
Then he got married to Marla Maples, and it was just Tiffany. And then
this with
the First Lady,
Melania.
With Barron.
Barron, yeah. So, who's, what, 12 or 13 now?
Yeah, but we always hear about everybody else.
We hear about the
or
other
Tiff.
Ones. Yeah, not Tiffany.
I want that investigation. I support that.
Yeah.
Yeah. 888-727 back is the phone number. Back with more in just a moment. One story, Pat. By the way, Pat and Stu are here for Glenn Beck. He'll be back on Monday. One of the story that we has had no attention at all was a story about an ACLU lawsuit challenging the government's award of grants to the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops to provide services to unaccompanied minor illegal aliens and trafficking victims. Now, you might say, well, the reason why no one's covering that because it sounds really boring. And that's true. However, there's some interesting stuff in there. They had a 34-page opinion, and they shot down the ACLU's argument, saying, okay, the Catholics were not trying to endorse or win anyone over to a religion. They were just helping. So that no surprise there. The ACLU sues everybody over everything. Mm-hmm. However, buried in the middle of the... This is from the Federalist. Buried in the middle of the court's analysis was a shocking revelation. Obama administration officials transported pregnant minors in federal custody to New Mexico to obtain abortions in order to circumvent parental consent laws in other states. An email exchange between two Health and Human Services employees in April 2014 exposed this fact. In discussing Maria, a pregnant minor held at a temporary shelter, possibly in Texas or Florida, the workers noted that Maria stated she wanted an abortion and did not want her parents to know that she was pregnant. At the time, Maria's parents, who were sponsors, were located in Florida. Maria was in custody of the Federal Office of Refugee Resettlement. After learning Maria had requested an abortion, according to government emails, two field specialists looked into the abortion laws in both Texas and Florida and reported that the general rule in both states was that minors could not have abortions without parental consent, with certain exceptions, like a waiver. Instead, they went the other way and took them to New Mexico for an abortion.
With Pat and Stu, joined by Jeffy,
host of Chewing the Fat with Jeffy, the incredibly explosive podcast.
No, I'm thinking of changing that, though.
Why?
Chewing the Fat with Beto. Oh, what do you think?
Oh, yeah.
I like that. That's great.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
You can, by the way, get the podcast every day.
Every day, Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. But 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern, it drops, and you can get it wherever free podcasts are sold.
Yeah. It's Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher is how you find it, and you should do that. And Jeffy, I have a potential story for you today.
Okay.
Just because we talked a little bit about this yesterday, but this could be the most Jeffy headline of all time.
Oh, no.
Nevada brothel owner expected to win election despite death.
Amen.
That's
my man Hoff.
Yeah,
my man Hoff. Yeah, he's still going to win on the ballot. They have to put. I read where they have to put a sign up where in the voting hall that he's still on the ballot, but he's dead. He's still on the ballot, but he's dead. But people are still.
So if he wins, who serves?
They will nominate a Republican to replace him, I guess. So this is your way. And this has happened in previous races as well, where a candidate passes away and then people still vote for them.
Wasn't it Missouri where
Missouri
the senator died and his wife served in his stead.
Yes.
Yeah. So
I mean, that's, so what they,
it, won't
that's
be,
what they,
it won't be one of his hookers, though. It'll be someone else.
I don't
we assume.
Know.
You don't know that.
We don't know, do we? We don't
could
know
be a business
sure.
partner. It could. You know, right. Heidi Fleiss?
Yeah.
Could be. Okay. I, right. Who knows? It could be. I mean, we don't know how many Republican hookers he has. It could be mm-hmm. could be a high percentage. We don't know.
We don't know.
So we'll find out. But that's that's got to be interesting. You're, you know, voting for someone who's dead and a yeah. pimp and a self-described pimp.
This is a, oh yeah, that was his, I mean, it was that was his deal.
Yeah, interesting yeah. Republican world, because he's a mm-hmm. I mean, he's a Republican. Big. He ran one other time and almost won.
Yeah,
and
he lost
this time. And this
yeah.
time he's actually going to win. It looks like.
Wow.
I noticed that you were still talking about Glenn and his canoe trip, but I looked for the GoPro video online and I have not seen it.
Did you check the dark web? It's on the dark web.
No.
Yeah, that's where.
No.
It is. Yeah.
Oh.
It's interesting because I just got an email here. It says, this is Stu and Pat. I may be your only listener who's actually staring at the Mediterranean Sea as I listen. I can confirm that Glenn is nowhere to be seen rowing near Amalfi.
Oh, okay. That's, well, that's where, that was his departure point.
That's where he, yeah, that's where he left from there. So he'd be a long way from there now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why you're not going to be able to see him. I mean, it's a big ocean.
He had to be there, what, yesterday or the day before?
Probably, somewhere in there. Yeah,
so he'll be back on Monday, though.
Yeah,
we think.
Well, he's already done the canoe thing across mm-hmm. the Mediterranean, and now he is he's climbing K2 as we speak.
Man, all that training he's done is
paying off, man. It's paying off.
It sure is, mm-hmm. and you can tell when you look at him. Also, by the way,
there's
he's
not
gonna
a
be...
lot of us that work out like that.
No, that's and, true. You're one. I'd put you guys in the same category. So what else do you have for us today?
Good news. Good news coming. I know that, you know, everybody was concerned about carbon taxes, but they're going to be here. ExxonMobil has announced that they're going to give $1 million to the Americans for carbon dividends. Mm-hmm. And that means that the carbon the carbon tax is on its way.
Are you kidding
Exxon
me? ExxonMobil is doing this?
That's right. They're giving their...
Unbelievable.
Why are they caving like this?
Now there's some belief that they're not actually caving. They're just giving the million to pretend
right.
like they're for it, and they're not really. So that's very possible.
That's certainly
but it's just
left
to get
things.
People off their back.
Well, that's yes. why. It gets nobody off your back. They mm-hmm. still disbelieve then you just...
Right.
They, what Jeffy just said. They think yes. you're faking it.
Yes.
Yep. And so you don't get the credit for this. And you know, of course, you know, it is an interesting thing when it comes to new government regulation. All these companies that go through and want free enterprise when they're coming up in the world.
Right.
When they get to be the biggest boys, they like some of these new taxes and
yes,
regulations
they do.
Because it
mm-hmm.
winds up punishing upstart competitors. You know, Exxon can swallow a little bit of
yep.
extra regulation and not deal with it. You know, that's why Google writes things. You know, they're heavily involved in a lot of the net neutrality stuff. It's not going to hurt Google. You know,
right.
like they can take a little bit of it. They can deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the, you know, it's the guy down who's starting up something new that winds up getting punished.
But listen, I think we all can agree that something has to be done because
no,
what
we cannot agree. Definitely, the things that they're going to try are not going
share,
to work.
The latest report from mm-hmm. the IPCC says the share of low carbon energy that we use to power transportation will need to rise from 5% to 25% to 45% in 2050 just to keep global warming to 2 degrees centigrade.
Yeah.
So something has mm-hmm. to be done.
Mm. Right.
Yeah. Well, the world has had a really rough run of it in that first degree. I mean, you know, the last 100 years, jeez.
Wow.
What a disaster for humanity, if
right?
you think
yeah,
about
it's,
it.
It's almost killed everyone on the planet.
Oh, my gosh. Now, sure, the population has exploded. Medical advances have exploded. Civilization mm-hmm. has been spread throughout the world to poverty. Just in the past 20 years has dropped by hundreds of millions, if not billions. Tens of thousands of kids who normally would die just a couple of decades ago now live. But let's complain about that time.
Oh, what about the ice caps, though? What about the polar ice caps?
Yeah.
Why are they gone?
That's a good point.
Why are they gone?
I think if you...
Why are they completely gone?
If you're writing the story of the 20th century,
mm-hmm.
what you're going to write about, number one is going to be the, you know, the 0.7 degree temperature rise. And number mm-hmm. two is going to be the, you know, 0.1 of a, you know, millimeter sea rise or whatever it is per decade over the past 100 years. Because sea level rise is the thing that's defined the last century.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. I remember when there are a bunch of states to the west of South Carolina and North Carolina. Remember that? Now they're all underwater. That's what everyone will talk about when talking about the 20th century. Yeah, not all the wonderful advancements.
And look, going back to, you know, Exxon giving their million and still not being enough. It's never enough, right? I mean, these companies, it's never enough. They give in. We have the story about Kleenex rebranding their man-sized tissues because of the gender backlash.
Yeah.
Wait, what did they do?
There's been many people have complained in the story and from Kimberly Clark, who is the maker of Kleenex. Many people have complained that man-sized tissues.
It's offensive.
Were sexist, right? And not inclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So offensive. They're all complaining about, lady footlocker too, right? Like they're all complaining about things that are designed specifically for women.
No.
Are you?
What?
Are you trying to make fun of this?
Yeah.
No, is that what you're doing? I mean,
oh my gosh.
I'm saying that.
Are you a misogynist?
Are you the leader of the manvertising campaign?
Manvertising.
I mean, that's enough out of you.
What is the, I mean, I honestly, this is an honest question. What's the difference between a female and a male tissue? How does that work?
Look, there's a difference because it's called man size.
So it's just bigger?
Okay. It's just, yes, it's bigger.
A bigger tissue.
Yes. And he actually said manvertising. That's what they're calling it. So listen,
manvertising.
And Kleenex.
I like that term, though.
Yes.
It's fun.
And Kleenex has said it no way. We no way suggest that being both soft and strong is an exclusively masculine
trait.
They
by no way are saying
no
that.
Way.
Not
no
by
way.
Saying it's a man size.
We believe that man size branding suggests or endorses gender inequality. No way.
No way.
So they're keeping the man size? They're sticking by it?
Well, they're going to keep the actual product, but they're going to rebrand it.
Of course, they're going to rebrand it.
To what?
Kleenex Extra Large. Now, on behalf, I like to say this, that I believe that's fat shaming. I want them to. I want that off. That extra large stuff, no way.
I think you should push
I want you to complain to corporate headquarters in Kleenex. I want you to complain.
That's amazing.
I
mean,
seriously, let's get them away from even the extra large, because what are you, a triple, quadruple extra large? What are you, 5X?
Extra large is in the name.
Yeah, so, and that's offensive to
it
you.
It is, actually, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
So
that's amazing. Do you remember Dr. Pepper 10, which came out a few years ago?
Yeah.
It's still out. I mean, you could still have it. And it's a 10-calorie version. It's not quite diet, which is zero calories.
It was supposed to be more for men, right?
That was their advertising campaign.
And so they stopped
Dr. Pepper 10. It's for men.
Yeah.
Like they were like, and they made it. It was all branded almost like an Old Spice commercial. Like it was like branded with all masculine, big guys with big muscles and like doing crazy things, lifting cars and all this stuff. Hey, you know, it was just a funny, jokey campaign. I bet they wouldn't even do that today.
No
I haven't
way.
Seen an ad
no,
like that.
No
in a while.
Way. I haven't seen it. They don't even talk about Dr. Pepper 10 anymore, do they?
I mean, no, I haven't seen a commercial for it in a while. It is still available and pretty delicious, by the way.
Is it?
I would say I'm a fan.
Okay.
I'd be very interested to see what many people have what equals, because they also say in the story from Kimberly Clark that despite our consumer service registering consistent increase of complaints. Okay, so what is that?
Two to four.
Yeah.
Or is it the same three people that are complaining more than once?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it's got to be.
Yeah, okay. A couple of people on Twitter said something.
Right.
And they freaked out.
Right.
Yeah. That's like Pam on The Office. And they said, she said, I doubled my sales last month. And someone said, well, from 2 to 4? And she said, yes. It was yes. 2 to 4. So yes.
Yes.
That's kind of what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
These are not real complaints. I mean, again, you can always find someone to say something.
Always.
I always get frustrated by these news stories that come out and be like, someone on Twitter said that they were upset. And it's just like a one person on Twitter. Finding someone to say any example of any word
Twitter
combination
is.
In the English language is not an achievement. It's certainly not a news story. So the idea that you can find some people who are going to be pissed off at man size, I'm sure there is somebody. Some crazy person. There's probably some organization that has decided this is going to be their thing of the day to make their donors feel good about themselves as if they've achieved something in life.
Right.
But in reality, this is not a real complaint. People don't care. People don't care. If you like man size, then you take the man size thing, right?
I mean,
who cares?
And women could buy a man size. Just like if we wanted to, we could buy...
Yeah, but they'd probably get looked at funny if they went through the register with the man size.
Of course not. Package. There is no downside to this.
They'd be female shamed.
Yeah, they might be looked at.
Man shamed.
Like, well,
you're not a man.
That's not for you.
You can't buy that. You can't buy that. your money's no good here.
It's not the way it works. They like your money a lot.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do.
Now, if Jeffy went through another transition and went back, because you, what are you, three or four transitions? So going back to female, let's just say, and you right. and you were then would be a larger female if you were to transition back. You'd be on the large side of the female scale.
That's that'd be fair.
That'd be yeah, fair. And you wanted to go buy now man-sized tissues. Would this be offensive to you if you were now identifying as a woman?
Very well could be. I mean, I know that, you know.
Really?
Yeah, very well could be, yes.
Very well could be.
Very well could be.
Okay.
I, at one of the transitions, when I was a female, and again, I was, you know, larger.
Yeah, right.
A female. Yeah. They don't have a fat girl section.
Oh,
In the stores, you know, really? Like they have the fat guy section, big yeah. and tall or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But in most stores, not all, but most stores, you if you're a bigger female, you have to shop in the maternity section.
Oh, really?
And I think
that's old school. I think that's been rectified.
Oh, is it
recently?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because if I go back to female and I have to go to a maternity
section. No, I don't think you'll have to. I don't think you'll have to go to the maternity section anymore.
I don't think you should challenge Jeffy's unique life experience on this particular topic.
That's probably true. All right. We got more coming up here. 888-727-BECK.
Yep. And it's Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher. Go on the podcast app and search for it, and it'll be up later today. Thanks,
absolutely.
Jeffy. Appreciate it. Sponsor this half hour is Simply Safe. Of course, they're all. When Jeffy's on, they're always incredibly proud to sponsor that particular half hour.
Well, they should be.
Simply Safe is actually an amazing product because we've been doing business with these guys since when there was like five people in the company.
That was the late 40s, I think. Late 40s?
It might have been.
Early 50s?
It was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Now, I mean, more than 2 million Americans are using Simply Safe to keep
and
safe every day.
It's a billion-dollar company now.
Incredible.
It's really amazing.
Incredible. They never gave us an opportunity to invest, which is... I do hold that against them.
Yeah.
I will say that. I'm just going to come out and say that in the middle of their commercial. I hold it against them. Because the reason why it's been so successful is the technology is great, and they've made it super easy for people. Mm-hmm. I know when you buy a house, a lot of times if there's an alarm in it already, you're stuck with a long-term contract. You know, if you want to get something like that installed, it's drilling in the walls and all that. Simply Safe solved all those problems. There's no contract. It's $14.99 a month.
My monthly thing went up to about $60.
Just the 60
before though. I finally got rid of it and switched over to Simply Safe. $60.
$60.
It started around, I don't know, 1995 or one of those.
That was an introductory offer.
Then it was 32, and then it was like $59.95. And I'm like, okay, no. No,
it's
we're
ridiculous.
Done. Thank you.
I mean, you in this world, you absolutely at this point have to have an alarm system. You got to make a choice on this. I mean, at this point, you know, you got to do it. But, you know, you might as well pick something that's going to be easy for you to, if you decide you don't want it for a while, if you run into a tough month, you can turn it off, you can come back on.
And it's easy to put together. It's easy to set up. Yep. And we have a friend who's just lost her husband, and she was asking about, a system now. And I said, you got to get Simply Safe. It's so easy to set up, and it's the best there is. Mm-hmm. It's just high tech, and you don't have to worry about it.
You can get 10% off now your Simply Safe system. Go to simplysafebeck.com. That's simplysafebeck.com. It's a company we've been doing, you know, as I said, for a long time. These are trustworthy people. They have a really good product, and I think you're going to like it a lot. simplysafebeck.com.
Pat, Stu, Jeffy, for Glenn, who is back on Monday. As soon as he's finished climbing K2,
he'll be a little sore,
but I'm sure he'll be ready to go. Have you seen the previews for this new Netflix movie that they're saying is so frightening, people who see it are vomiting and passing out?
What?
And they say, don't watch it at night because you won't sleep. You'll have to sleep with the lights on.
Well, I do have Netflix, but I haven't experienced that yet.
It's called The Haunting of Hill House. Now, I saw the preview. I saw the trailer of it.
Slept since?
Yeah, but I didn't see the actual movie. I just saw the trailer, does look spooky. It looks terrifying. I'd love to hear from somebody who has seen this thing and find out if you vomited while you watched it. I haven't heard that kind of stuff since, like, The Exorcist.
Oh, yeah, long time.
Yeah, long time. Most shows that are supposed to scare the crap out of you just don't.
No, they don't. It wasn't too long ago, right, that YouTube pulled the one, the Nun ad for being too scary. So maybe we're just becoming a little bit too...
A little too sensitive?
Yeah, a little
too wussified?
Yeah, a little bit.
little too sissified.
Yeah, those are good words.
Yeah. All right. Glenn should be back on Monday with Stu, and I'll see you on Pat Gray Unleashed bright and early in the morning, 7 o'clock Eastern. Then also check out our podcast, Pat Gray Unleashed, and Chewing the Fat with Jeffy.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.